Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today I'm with Trey Sumner, our lead facilitator in our All Together Boys program. He provides prevention and educational opportunities for boys and young men to revision masculinity, reinvent manhood while creating more healthy and wholehearted masculinity. So Trey, welcome.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks
to
for having
the podcast today. So as a way of kind of leading in, you have this passion of working with young men. And so what is your backstory about why you have this passion?
About 10 years ago, after I was completing my fourth tour with the Army, I had gotten to a place where I was in a lot of pain myself. I also had decided when I got home that I was going to ask my boys to go to college. And if I was going to do that, I should go first. So I was a 40-year-old freshman. I attended Grand Valley and I went into the Lib Studies program where you can define your own degree. And my degree is in masculinity studies and gender equity. I chose to study that because I wanted to make an impact in men. I wanted to find a way to give young men the tools, the permission, and the freedom to develop a healthy masculinity so that they could avoid the pitfalls and the pain that I had gone through and so many other men have.
So let's talk about the state of masculinity in American culture, because that's what we go into the schools here along West Michigan. So why do you think we need to go there? What are we preventing? What's going on in the culture of masculinity you think that needs to have some resocialization or some training on?
Sure, that's a great question. I believe that as men, we have a very narrow scope of what we're allowed to do, what behaviors are acceptable, what defines us as men. And we extract so much of what is great and beautiful about being a human being from what it means to be a man. I have a limited scope of emotions I'm allowed to display. I have a limited scope of behaviors I'm allowed to display. And I don't think that allows us to be complete human beings.
Right.
And the long-term effect of that is a lot of pain and damage. Men my age, older men, the rise in substance abuse, depression, anxiety, suicide, they're through the roof, and these guys are landing in your office.
Right.
I'm hoping if I do my job well, you have to get a different job.
Right, and we hear that with the men that we work with. We often do these resocialization groups and programs here, and we often hear men say, why didn't they teach us this in school?
Right.
And then you can probably say a little bit about how we started this program and what some bright seventh grade girls said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that kind of connects to that.
Everybody or most people are familiar with Girls Inc. Local junior high, City Middle, was incorporating the Girls Inc. program for their girls, where the girls were learning about safe boundaries, healthy relationships. And the question was, why are we in the classroom learning this and the boys are outside playing kickball? Which is when City Middle called you and said, hey, will you write this program? Which, of course, it was too important to say no to, but you didn't have time to do it. So that's where I came into play. And between you and Maggie, Magdalene, who used to be here, was definitely instrumental and integral into making this program work.
Right.
We put together this program and started working in the junior highs, and it's been extraordinarily successful.
Right. So if people could come into the classroom and be a fly on the wall, and you're in there working with these seventh grade boys, and you got them for, you know, usually
about
8 weeks.
Hour, yeah.
8 weeks.
Oh, an hour at a time for 8 weeks, yeah.
And so what is it that, what happens in these classrooms? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. What I have found repeatedly is that these boys at this age, they want to be complete human beings. They are not comfortable with this narrow scope of having to constantly perform in a way that gets them approval, either from their peers or from whoever their role models are. And what they're really looking for is the permission and the freedom and the tools to be complete human beings. And when we go into the classrooms and give them those things, you know, to break it down for them, and they can see men that are willing to, that feel that this is valuable, that gives it value to them.
Right. And do you think that, are there some people in the school systems, parents at all, that are worried that, you're emasculating the boys, you're sissifying them. I mean, how do you respond to that?
Sure. I can think of a very specific incident in City Middle. The boys were going home, and I'm sure they were talking to their parents about what we were doing. And there was a father who waited for me in the parking lot and was very upset. His exact words were that I was un-Tom Sawyering his son, which I had to think about for a second.
Right.
And I think he was a little surprised. I don't think he expected me to walk out of that classroom. I think he expected something, a man who didn't fit his definition of, right, of masculinity.
And you looked more stereotypical, and he's like, what's going on with this guy?
I'm a pretty stereotypical cisgendered guy.
He's not speaking our tribal language.
Right.
Let me set him straight.
and that happens frequently. Yeah. You know, I get in those conversations a lot. People look at me, I have the beard, the tattoos, the military background. And so there's a lot of assumptions. And when I don't respond in that same way, it causes immediate friction.
Right. So did the conversation end up going pretty well then?
It actually went really well with that father. We talked for about 15, 20 minutes. And all I did was explain to him, look, I'm not trying to emasculate your son. What I'm trying to do is give your son healthier options to avoid all of these very predictable pitfalls that we fall into as men.
So you teach them something, but you're letting them hang on to their masculinity. Is this kind of like a cross training, or that you're trying to help them see that the way that we've traditionally raised boys is that you try to cut them off from half their humanity in the name of trying to reach this pinnacle of masculinity, and that's been the problem?
I wouldn't call it hang on to their masculinity. I think that there's as many ways to define a man as there are men.
Okay.
What I do think, though, is that we need to give our boys the freedom to develop into the man that they are instead of performing in a very narrow, specific script of what is acceptable, because it's just that script doesn't apply to everybody, and it's unhealthy, and the long-term damage is there. I ask boys frequently, one of my favorite questions is, can you name a great man in your life that you know personally? And inevitably, every time if I ask this question of a man or a boy or whoever's listening right now, I'd ask you, who's a great man that you know personally? And I would be willing to gamble that the overwhelming majority of people pick a father or a father-type figure, a coach, a priest, a teacher, somebody who affected them. And when I ask them why, what makes that man great, they always tell me something that man taught them, provided for them, gave to them, or the community, and that's what made them great. But if I ask them what it means to be a man or to man up, it's a very different definition.
Right.
So why is it what we revere is so different from what we adhere to be?
There's a disconnect there.
A very big disconnect. You know, we talk about our emotional toolbox. We have a toolbox to build the man we are. If you only use one tool, which typically is our hammer, you're not going to build a very good anything. You know, you need lots of tools. You need to be a complete person.
So part of what you're doing is giving them then permission to see that, like, emotional intelligence. Is that what you're framing it as? That there's different forms of intelligence. And so if you don't have this emotional toolbox and knowing which tool to pick up at which time, then you're apt to make mistakes and run
Absolutely.
Into trouble.
And what we also do in the classroom is exercises that normalize that. My favorite thing to do at the beginning of every class is we go around the room and we call it the happies and crappies. Give me a happy and a crappy that happened in the last week. Now, what that really is doing is normalizing talking about how we feel, about our lives, about things besides sex and sports with other men. And that has proven to be extraordinarily valuable. My favorite example, we were at a junior high here in Grand Rapids, a rougher junior high. It was a tougher school.
Right.
And it's that particular school, the eighth graders, there's no mass graduation to high school together. They all split up and go to different schools. So they have an eighth grade end of the time party.
Right.
And the principal and the teacher who had brought us in called me when they got back from their two-week summer camp to ask me to come in and talk to them. And they were overjoyed because the boys who had been through that program, that particular one was Fable and I. Yeah. And they said, first, the boys, they have these talking circles. And the principal said, in 10 years of doing this, not one boy has ever joined a talking circle. And she was like, all of your boys joined the talking circle and they thought it was great. Then there was a zip line and one boy was too scared and he was crying, which would normally cause him to get teased, picked on. And she was like, Trey, your boys came over and supported him for 20 minutes till he did it. But my favorite was the gym teacher who was new and he had worn a pair of sweatpants that were cut off and the girls were making fun of him because they said it looked like culottes. And she said, your boys went over and said, don't put him in the man box. He can wear those if he wants to. Unheard of at that age. And all it was 8 weeks of sitting with myself and another man who gave them the freedom and the permission to be a whole human being. And to you can be a strong man. You don't have to root it in dominance and conquering. You can root it in compassion and equity.
Right. And you can still do the zip line.
Yeah. Which is, and you can
performing, you know, something where you're taking a risk and you're trying to get through your fears.
Sure.
But rather than shaming him to do it, he was encouraged to do it. And there's some self-agency to it, which is going to have more power than doing it because you're scared of being picked on.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So what do you think as we're moving into this 21st century, this new millennium, and I think of it as a, you know, this connection economy, service economy, and in preparing young men to be able to be fit for the 21st century and being able to have that equipment to be able to perform versus maybe the Industrial Revolution, what the skills were needed back then. I mean, what do you see why this programming is so essential for young men to really prepare them?
Sure. And I think that's a great question and a really solid point to look at for the future for our boys. I think that if we as men, if we don't incorporate equity and collaboration into our day-to-day practices, our boys are not going to be successful in the future in any industry. You know, the world has changed. We're not out hunting saber-toothed tigers to make sure that our camp is safe anymore. You know, we're working in environments that have a very diverse and eclectic group of people. You know, the world has grown much smaller, and you have to be accepting and open to a wide variety of different ideas and people. And I think that traditional stereotypical masculinity is a very much, you know, I'm in command, steer, get out of the way, you know, and that mentality just doesn't work anymore. I think that collaboration and not being afraid of equity is very, very important.
So if we can engineer cars to have flex fuels and we can engineer, you know, things to be more fluid and respond to context, then I think what I hear you saying is that we're not necessarily going to say that we're going to take away the ability for a boy to be competitive or to be an athlete or to be aggressive and to be able to take charge in a situation when it requires that, but they're going to have the ability to be nimble. You want them to be able to respond to the context in which they're in. Which,
sure, absolutely. I think that
so if it requires collaboration, they're not going to be in competition mode, in dominance mode, and they're going to be able to be more fit in that context.
Absolutely. I think that for a long time we have hyper idolized certain characteristics of masculinity that are important. You know, there's nothing wrong with strength and competition. You know, those are important things. But if that's all you have, if that's all you're showing, then you're not. You're not going to be very successful in a wide variety of situations.
So what do you say about this this notion of toxic masculinity? If, as you know, you and I have talked about it, written about it, posted about it, and it's amazing the response that some people have. And so you're being anti-male and you're saying that, like the Gillette commercial that came out, and people just have a lot of really, really emotional negative responses that we're trying to throw masculinity under the bus or trying to weaken men. But what is your relationship with that term?
You know, I'm not a big fan of the term toxic masculinity only because I think that it now has an association with so many other things. And so I think it's problematic. It's difficult for a lot of men specifically to, because it feels like a dirty finger's getting pointed at a lot of, you know, a lot of men feel like when you talk about that, you're calling them a bad name. Which isn't the case. In my experience, you know, I work with young men. I work with boys and young men.
Right.
And so for me, toxic masculinity isn't something I talk about. I just talk about with younger men, all of the things available to us as human beings, and to talk about the fact that, yes, there are differences between men and women, absolutely.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we have to exclude anything that we would identify as feminine from what it means to be a man, because there aren't feminine and masculine things in our body. We have just things. We're humans. You know, sadness is a really important emotion, but we're not allowed to experience that as men. If you get sad, you have to channel it into anger and rage. That's the only appropriate accepted response. You can't just be sad. And that's unhealthy for us as men. You know, and the long-term damage, you know, is that's where you come into play. For me, working with boys, it's not, I never talk about toxic masculinity in using that phrase because it's just unnecessary. I think these boys see that it's not, they know it's not healthy. They know it's not right. They are craving the permission to go be who they are.
Right.
So,
yeah, I think it's, you know, it's semantics. And I think, you know, as Betty Friedan talked about a problem with no name when they were trying to figure out what was going on with women when they were sad, when they had, you know, everything that there's, you know, they dreamed of, the house in the suburbs and you got the kids are all clean, they're getting A's, and why are you depressed? Well, there was a problem with no name. And so I think that as we try to name it, you know, we don't have to come up with a clever name. You know, Charlie Donaldson and I came up with masculopathy, and, you know, people don't like that because it pathologizes masculinity and toxic masculinity. Well, it's like we can talk about toxic water and food poisoning, and we don't say that we're anti-food or anti-water.
Sure.
And so I look at it as whatever we call it is just helping young boys to understand that when you define masculinity in this rigid way where it doesn't have that flexibility to respond to context, it can be toxic to your humanity. It can help you not be prepared to function in from a wellness paradigm.
Yeah, it makes me think, my favorite quote from Bell Hooks is the first act of violence that men commit is not against women, it's against themselves. As men, we cauterize ourselves from emotion. We cauterize ourselves from so many wonderful things about being human. And if we don't, it will be done for us.
Right.
You will be tormented. You will be teased, picked on, maybe beat up. In some cases, we've seen men killed, boys killed because they wouldn't subscribe to this.
Right.
And that, I think, defines it very well.
Yeah, so if it's, call it what you want, but I think that when we don't get a chance as a society to be able to call it something and to name how injurious it can be for boys, then it's hard to have programs that we can get into the schools and faith communities to say we're here to try to prevent this, but we're here mostly to foster and cultivate something that's really rich in offering boys something.
And it's really important to be able to see. I think it's easy to demonstrate how this hyper-masculine ideal has been exaggerated and grown for the last few decades in this country. One great example for me is Batman. If you go back to the original Batman, and if there's any super comic book aficionados, I know Adam West is not the original Batman, but he's the original one most of us think of. If you look at Adam West as Batman, he's just an average guy. You know, he was really worried about taking care of his young charge, his young ward, I think he called him, of Robin. He was nonviolent mostly. It was about teaching lessons. It was about teaching moments. It was what could he do for the community as a philanthropist. And he did it without ego. Fast forward 30 years to Michael Keaton Batman, a little more eccentric. He's lost the teaching component.
Right.
It's a little more aggressive, a little more violent. He's a little more fit. Fast forward 30 years to modern day Christian Bale Batman. He's basically a criminal. It's all about revenge and vengeance and mass violence, you know, and this is one of our masculine ideals as boys that we look up to and want to be. Well, trying to be Adam West is very different than trying to be a modern day Christian Bale.
Right.
And I think the problems, when we were, I was teaching in the youth detention center a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I was at one point absolutely just stunned because we were talking about nonviolent conflict resolution and how we could talk blah, blah, blah instead of hitting each other. And one of the boys raised his hand. He's like, nobody fist fights anymore. Nobody fist fights. We just shoot each other. And I didn't know how to respond. I'm like, that's a problem.
shouldn't do that either.
I would go, that's a little bit worse. Fistfights just get you, you know, a detention.
Right.
Shooting someone can land you in this room.
Exactly.
So
as we wind down here, I know that one of the things that we struggle with is trying to figure out a way to get schools want us there. They oftentimes will say, when can you come? When can you start? And obviously we have this funding issue. And so not that this is a plug for funding and send us your money, but it does seem to be symptomatic of the larger culture not recognizing this problem. We've got shooters, and most of the time when a shooter happens, it's a male, but they talk about mental health problems, they talk about gun control, but no one's talking about a public health problem for young men. And so that's I think having a struggle with funding and not having a larger conversation about men's wellness and health is we have a lot of work to do in educating people on how important this is.
Absolutely. And I think that we're seeing that now. I think for the last few years, you and I have had, I don't even know how many meetings with how many schools and talked to how many administrators, and the response is the same thing every time. I love what you're doing. I love your program. That's awesome. Let's get started. Oh, by the way, we don't have any money. We can't pay you. And it just became impossible to keep doing it for free. And now we've gotten to a point in the last month, I was approached by a local school, and they're like, and what they had to say was, it's gotten so bad, we don't have a choice. We have to do a program.
Right.
And we heard you're the person to talk to.
Right.
I don't want it to get to that point. I don't want to get to a point where we're putting out fires.
Right.
I want to get in there and do the work ahead of time.
That's why it's a prevention program.
Yes. So,
well, that's our vision. And that's what we continue to lean into, and I really appreciate you coming today, Trey, and talking with us about it. So
thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have any questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Be well and have a great day.